Cathedral Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor.
In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, the Apostle Paul makes this remarkable statement. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What a statement. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, what does Paul mean by the law? He's referring to the law God gave Israel. It had the Ten Commandments. It had all the priesthood and the sacrifices and all the ceremonies. It's all called God's law. But I want to try to keep us thinking about just the Ten Commandments. I mean, you can't separate the law of God. I realize that. But let's just think of the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. Christ is the end of the law, the loving God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, having no other gods before God, never taking His name in vain, the commandment against idolatry, the commandment regarding the Sabbath, not killing, not committing adultery, not stealing, honoring your father and mother, not telling a lie, not coveting, the Ten Commandments. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And you know what that means? That means if you're someone who believes, Christ is the end of the law of righteousness for you. That means you have nothing less than the very righteousness of Christ. You have a righteousness that cannot be improved and that cannot be diminished. It's not only counted to you, it's yours. It's what the Bible calls justification. Oh, how I love justification. Remember that publican in the temple crying and beating on his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The Lord Jesus tells us that he went down to his house justified. Justified means you're not guilty. You don't have anything to feel guilty about. Somebody once says, justification is just as if I never sinned. No, it's better than that. If I'm justified, I never sinned. I have a perfect righteousness before God, even the righteousness of Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's the purpose of the law. The law was given not for us to keep, but to expose our sinfulness. All it does is condemn. All it does is show what is wrong with us. God never intended for us to be saved by the law. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now listen to me real carefully. Anyone who thinks they've kept even one commandment one time is completely ignorant of the law of God. You've brought it down to human standards. You've lowered it down. And if you think you can keep one commandment, what you've done is lower it to where you can deal with it. And what an unholy, unrighteous thing to do. Let me repeat. If you think you've kept one commandment even one time, you're completely ignorant of what God's law really says. Christ is the purpose of the law. It's to bring us to Christ. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. There is one who did perfectly fulfill God's holy law, and that's Christ. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And Christ is the termination of the law. Paul said, after that faith has come, you are no longer under a schoolmaster. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under law, Paul said to the Galatians. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. You see, if you're under law, you're not under grace. It's really that simple. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, Paul said. What the law does is expose sin. But if you're in Christ, You're no longer under the law. You're dead to the law. It's been satisfied by Christ. It has nothing to say to you. You're dead to sin if you're in Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For who? Now, He's not the end of the law for righteousness for everybody. There is a place called hell. And there are men and women in hell even now. And Christ was not the end of the law for righteousness to them. Oh, and I don't want anybody listening to me to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be with Christ. But you and I will not be in heaven apart from understanding how Christ is my righteousness before God, how Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, He's not the end of the law for righteousness for everybody. Who is He the end of the law for righteousness for? Now, if I said the elect, I would be telling the truth. Christ Jesus is the end of the law of righteousness for the elect, those God the Father chose before time began to be saved. If I said Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those for whom Christ died, I would be correct. Christ died for these people. He did not die for all men without exception. If He did, all men without exception would be saved. And why make an issue of this? I want you to understand, I want to understand that if Christ died for me, I must be saved. That's my hope. My only hope of being saved is that Christ died for me. Now, if you tell me that He died for somebody and they wind up in hell anyway, you've taken away the only hope I have. Oh, we believe in a successful Savior. Whoever He died for must be saved. So, if I said Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for those for whom Christ died, I'd be telling the truth. And if I said Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to those who have been born again, I'd be telling the truth. Only those who have been born of the Spirit, regenerated, given a new heart to believe Christ, to look to Christ, to rest in Christ. These are the people that are born of God that Christ is the end of the law of righteousness for. Those who have been born from above. Now, while I said those things, and they're all true, it's not what the Scripture says in this verse. And this is what I want us to emphasize. Look what it says. It says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He is the end of the law for righteousness. And what a blessed thing that is, to be justified, to stand before God without guilt, to have perfect righteousness before God. What a blessing that is. Well, who is this blessing for? Everyone that believeth. No exceptions to this rule. He is the end of the law of righteousness for everyone that believeth. The word believeth, let me give you a grade school grammar lesson. You probably remember this from grade school. You learned about participles. A participle is a word that acts both as an adjective and a verb. It's what you are and it's what you do. It's a description of what you are and it's what you actually do. What is a believer? He's somebody who believes. That's what he does. And he's called a believer. That's a description of him. That's who he is. This word, believeth, describes what a Christian really is. He is a believer. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, I have to ask this question. Believes what? Believes what? Now, the reason I ask that question is because, according to the Scriptures, there are people who have a kind of faith, but it's not saving faith. You remember when James said, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. Let me read a couple of passages of Scripture to you from the book of John. In John chapter 2, we read in verse 23, now when He was in the Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men, and He needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. They had a type of faith, but it wasn't saving faith. In John chapter 12, we read even stronger language, verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, these men had a type of faith, but it was not saving faith. Now, the faith that saves the soul, please listen carefully. The faith that saves the soul has wholly to do with Christ Himself. Nothing else. It's believing Him. Believing is not believing that you're saved. Believing is not believing you're one of the elect. Believing is not believing that Jesus Christ died for you. You see, you're in all of those equations. Believing is not believing that you are born again. You'll notice in all those examples, we begin with something about us. I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm one of the elect. I believe Christ died for me, the emphasis being on me. You can believe all those things and still be lost. You can believe you're saved and not be. You can believe you're one of the elect and not be. You can believe Christ died for you and maybe He didn't. You can believe you're born again and not be born again. But you cannot believe Him and not be saved. Faith has wholly to do with Christ Himself. Now let me illustrate this from Acts chapter 8. When the Ethiopian eunuch stopped Philip and said, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? I want to know. Is there a reason why I shouldn't be baptized? Do I need to know more? Do I need to do more? Does my life need to get better? Tell me, what hinders me from being baptized? Give me a reason why I shouldn't be baptized." And Philip answered, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He didn't say, "I believe I'm saved." He didn't say, "I believe Christ died for me." His faith was wholly to do with who Christ was. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." Not what I believe. I know what I believe. I've heard people say that so many times. Well, Paul said, "I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day." I've committed the entire salvation of my soul to Him. If He doesn't do it all, I won't be saved, because all my eggs are in this one basket that He did everything, and I'm relying on Him. In John chapter 6, we read of some people leaving Christ. The Lord said in verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, 'Therefore said I unto you that no man can come to Me except it were given him of My Father.'" You and I can't even come to Christ unless God causes us to and enables us to and draws us. Now we read in verse 66, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." They were finished with Him. They weren't true disciples. They went back and walked no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" You know, the Lord's not going to have any unwilling disciples. He watched that group leave Him, and He didn't ask them to come back either. He watched them leave, and then He looked at the 12 and said, "Will you also go away?" Now look at Peter's answer. "Then Simon Peter answered Him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go?'" Not where will we go, but "to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now these people left the Lord because they didn't like what He said. Peter said, "We do. These words are words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, John says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, I'm not asking you if you believe you're saved or if you believe you're a Christian. I'm asking you, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Now, what does that mean? Christ means God's anointed. It's speaking of His offices. He's God's prophet. He's God's priest. He's God's king. Now, if I believe He's God's prophet, that means I believe every word that comes out of His mouth. I believe the whole Bible. All truth is precious to me. It doesn't do any good to say you love Christ if you don't pay attention to what He says. Oh, we believe His Word. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the prophet. He's the priest. That means if He brings me into the presence of God, I'm saved. I can't be anything but saved. He by Himself offered His own body once in coming into God's presence as God's priest representing all of His people. And if He comes into God's presence as my priest, I'm saved. If He died for me, I'm saved. If He prays for me, if He intercedes for me, I'm saved. Because He's the great high priest. He's God's king. That means He's the king of the universe. That means He's the absolute sovereign over all things. He is God's king. Oh, do you believe that He's the Christ? Well, the Scripture says if you do, you're born of God. Do you believe He's the Son of God? The uncreated second person of the Blessed Trinity? The Creator of all things? God the Son? The one who has all the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in His body. Do you believe that? Do you believe what those two blind men did when He said to them, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" They said, "Yea, Lord." Do you believe in His ability to save you without any help from you? Without any contributions from you? Do you believe He is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The blind man said, "Who is He, Lord, that I might believe?" And the Lord replied, "It's He that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped Him. You see, when you believe, this is one thing you do, you'll worship. You'll worship Him for who He is. Your worship of Him won't be based upon what He's even done for you, whether or not He saved you or not. When you really worship Him, you worship Him for who He is. Like the leper, he came and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." Now, he didn't know whether the Lord would make him clean, but he knew the Lord was to be worshipped whether he was made clean or not. Is He the object of worship without reference to what He does for you or doesn't do for you? You haven't worshipped until He is. And if you believe on Him, you will worship Him. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Not just he that believeth, but he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, what does it mean to walk after the flesh? To believe in works. What does it mean to walk after the Spirit? To trust Christ only as everything in your salvation. In John chapter 6, verse 28, we read, "They said unto Him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." Period. Listen to this scripture in John chapter 17 when the Lord is praying His great high priestly prayer for His people. He says in verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which You have given me, for they are Thine." And He's praying for all of His elect, because we read in verse 20 of this same chapter, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." And I pray that that's what takes place right now. Through the word being preached, there's somebody that's going to believe the gospel for the very first time. In John chapter 6, verse 40, we read these words from our Lord, "And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him." Now, that person has everlasting life. Everyone that seeth the Son. You know what that means? That means you... Doesn't mean you see Him physically. You haven't seen Him physically. But you see that the only way you can be accepted is because of Him. The only way you can be accepted is because of Him. You have no other hope. Now that's when you see Christ. When you see you have nowhere else to go. Sink or swim, I go to Him. I've got nowhere else to go. That's when a man sees Christ. And you see that all you want God to see is Christ. You don't want Him to see you. You want Him to see you in Christ. Like Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Do you remember the story of Mephibosheth? He was the son of Saul. And David and Jonathan had made a covenant that when David became king, he would have mercy on Jonathan's descendants. Now, Jonathan has been dead for some time, and David at this time has become the most powerful man in the world. The scripture says the fear of David fell on all nations. And at this time he said, "Is there any that I can show the kindness of God to for Jonathan's sake?" He remembered that covenant he made with Jonathan. And Ziba, the servant of Jonathan and the servant of Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, said, "Yes, there is a descendant left of Jonathan, and his name is Mephibosheth. But he's not worth anything. He's lame in both of his feet. He can't work for you. He can't fight for you. All he'll be is carried. All you can do with this man is carry him. There's nothing he can do to add to you." You know what David said? He said, "Go fetch him." And when Mephibosheth is brought before him, he sees that crippled man. But I know who he really saw. He saw Jonathan. He saw that boy's daddy. He saw that one that he made that covenant with years before. And he said, "Fear not, Mephibosheth. I will surely show you the kindness of God for Jonathan's sake." Now, you've seen Christ when you see that all you want God to see is Christ. You don't want Him to see you. You want Him to see you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:25 and 26 says, "Whom God set forth," speaking of Christ, "to be a propitiation." That word means a reason for the removal of God's anger. If He's propitiated toward you, that means His reason for anger has been removed. And that's exactly what Christ did on Calvary's tree. He removed God's reason for anger. "Now, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." Listen to this scripture. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. "To him that worketh not, but believeth." There's that word again. "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, this person who exercises this true saving faith, this is what their faith tells them. "I cannot be saved by my works, by my doings. I can't be saved by anything that I do. The only way I can be saved is if God justifies me through what Christ did on the cross." There's an understanding of the gospel there. "To him that worketh not, but believeth," you rely on Him who justifies the ungodly. Now, here's what, or who I'm relying on. I'm relying on Him who actually justified the ungodly. Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I'm completely relying on Him justifying the ungodly. That's what He did when He died, was buried, was raised from the dead. And that's who we're relying on. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says, "To Him give all the prophets witness, that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins." Listen to this scripture. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Now, don't look to yourself. Don't look to your feelings. Don't look to your evidences. Don't look to the past. Don't look anywhere for assurance but Him. "Looking unto Jesus." Somebody says, "Well, I could believe I was saved if my life was better, if my walk was more straight, if I understood more, if I had less of a problem with sin." No, that wouldn't be believing. That would be believing in yourself is all that would be. "Looking unto Jesus," looking away from yourself and looking to Him. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." And faith, my dear friends, is always in the present. If I got to look back to something that happened in the past to give me assurance for right now, it's a false assurance. I always look to Christ the same way. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Him? As an empty-handed sinner. And we walk in Him that way, looking to Him and trusting Him only. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Would you be in that demographic of those who believe? They are relying on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. I want to read a passage from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Peter said, wherefore also it's contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. They won't be put to shame. Nothing to be ashamed of. They're perfect in Christ. And then he says in verse 7, to you therefore which believe, He is precious. He's all you have. Somebody once said, if all you have is Christ, is that enough to be saved? And to that person, the preacher replied, it is if He's all you got. Is He all you have? Is He all you want? Is He all you need? Oh, He is precious to those who believe. It's not my faith that saves me. It's Him. And I believe that. I rely on Him. Do you believe? That's the question. Are you in that demographic that believeth? I think of what the Lord said to Peter, whom say men that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elijah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. But whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's prophet, God's priest, God's king? Do you believe He's the Son of the living God, the eternal creator, the sovereign of the universe? Well, that's what it is to have faith. And if you believe Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for you, you right now, as I'm speaking, have nothing less than the very righteousness of Christ as your personal righteousness before God. What could get better than that?